The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Good morning, this is Avraham Kimchi, Rabbi Kimchi, calling from Yerushalayim. Erev Shabbos Kedesh, Parshas in London, it's Parshas Chukas Pollock. We named Chukas last week, and this week you're catching up. Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz are catching up together during the joint Parsha Chukas Pollock, and I have an opportunity once again of addressing the Torah Way audience, which I enjoyed so much for so many years in London, and using this technology we're once again coming together to learn some Torah. So I'd like to just pick up one or two issues from Chukas and then maybe something from Pollock as well, just to share with you some of the insights of Chazal and the Gedolei HaMeforshim. So in Parshas Chukas, one of the famous events, Vatomas Shal Miriam v'lohoyomayim lo'edo, that Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, we're now in the 40th year in the Midbar, and Klal Yisrael don't have any water because Miriam has died. We learn out from that, Rashi brings down the Gemara and Taina stuff test, that in actual fact, all the 40 years they were in the Midbar, the water was B'schus Miriam, we all learned this in Haida, and Be'er and the Mon was in B'schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, Aron HaKavod in B'schus of Aaron HaKohen. These were the Gedolei Yisrael who led Klal Yisrael, and in their Z'chus, Klal Yisrael had sustenance in the Midbar in a miraculous way. This is Dvorim Pshutim, and this is where we start off from with Rashi and our Haida learning. However, the Achreinim, the Marshal, and Avraham Mefarshim asked a stira, a contradiction in Chazal, because we find in Gemara and Bob Matia Peivov, the Gemara there is speaking about Avraham Avinu and the Chesed of Avraham Avinu, and the story of the three Malachi, where Avraham Avinu supplies food and drink and protection to the Shlosha Malachim, and there. The Gemara there says, "B'schar sha'amah Avraham yukach no ma'at mayim zochu lebe'er." Avraham Avinu said to them, "Yukach no ma'at mayim," and in that zechus, Klal Yisrael had the be'er, and in the zechus of Echo Paslechem, they had the mon, and the zechus of Omer Aleim Tachas Oeth, they had the Aron HaKavod. Asked the Marsha and other Achreinim, so what was it? Was the be'er in the zechus of the Chesed of Avraham Avinu? Or was it in the Zechus of Miriam? So I must tell you, before we even look at some of the Londisha answers, I'm only going to bring you one particular, my favorite answer to this question. The truth is that it could well be that there are different mandomrim that we often find in Midrashi Chazal. There are different schools of thought among Chazal themselves how to interpret different issues in the Torah, and therefore it could well be that according to one mandama it's Chus Avraham, and another mandama it's Chus Miriam. However, there is one, the Marsha gives his own Torah, which I won't go into for the moment, but my favorite Torah is from the Torah Tamima of Baruch HaLevi Epstein, who I think brings in a very profoundly interesting Hesber into this question. And he says, definitely, the Gemara Bob Matthew is talking about the Chesed of Avraham Avinu, and in his Zuchus, there was the Be'er. But what does that mean? That means that in the Zuchus that Avraham Avinu was Isaac in Chesed, to such a degree, in that Zuchus, he was Zeicher to have children, have descendants, such as Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, seven generations later, that they were able to bring the Shechinah down into Klal Yisrael in a tangible, mamoshistic way, and therefore it was in his chesed that these people, that Miriam was able to come into this world. B'chlam. One needs to have zechus to have children and descendants who are tzaddikim gedolim, right? Zeche chastei ovois, or maybe geulo libnei b'neia. That it's only in the zechus of the ovos that there's a possibility, b'chlam, to have people like Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam in the dar, but if every dar needs its paranosim, Chazal call it a paranosim in the sense that in every dar in the zechus of the tzaddikim of that dar, Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu brings a shefa bracha down into that generation, And in the same way as Moshe Rabbeinu was the seventh generation after Avraham Avinu and brought down the Shekhinah into this world, according to Chazal, similarly, they were able to bring down also the Be'er, the Mon, and the Amnei HaKavod, and that was all Bizchus, the Chesed Avraham Avinu. So actually, these two Mamori Chazal, one in Tainus Daftes and one in Bombatia Peivav, are not really a contradiction at all. They're just speaking about different aspects of the Zachiyus of Klal Yisrael. That we have the foundational Zachiyus of the others, but that at the same time, we need in every door people to bring down that Hashpah into the generation itself. That's my favorite Perush from Baruch HaLevi Epstein from the Torah Tamima. Another one of the I'll come back to Avraham Avinu, please, when I've been speaking about Bolon for a moment. But another one of the famous issues in Parshas Chukas is the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu famously is told, Kachas Amata, the Dibarta Hasela, to take his mata and hit the rock, but instead of which, to take his mata and speak to the rock, instead of which he hits the rock. And this seems to be his chait. The truth is, all Gedolei Yisrael throughout the Deiros had great difficulty understanding both what was the chait of Moshe, and secondly, why he was deserving of such a massive onesh that he wasn't allowed. One of the great sadnesses of the whole of the Chumash is that Mineged Tires Haoret Toshama Leitovoi, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not zeicher to enter Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that Vayischavad El Hashem Vayisahi, Moshe Rabbeinu davens repeatedly hundreds of times, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you're staying in the Midbar and you're not accompanying Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And all this happens here in Parshas Chukas. And the question is, what's really happening here? So just to give you a sense of just how complicated it is, if you look in the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, he brings down 10 different possible reasons. The Kliyaka and the Abarbanel also have their list of 10 or 11 different reasons, different Mephoshim. The Ramban says it was a moment of Kaas. Moshe Rabbeinu had a moment of Kaas. The Ramban has a different Perish. Notzi Lachem Ma'im, all different interpretations. What could it possibly have been? Big picture, for a moment, it shouldn't be surprising for us that we have difficulty understanding the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu. In actual fact, it's a big chiddush that the Torah Mechal speaks about the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it could be, as some of the Mefarshim point out, the Torah particularly speaks about the chataim of the Gedolei Yisrael, of the others, and about of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, in order to tell us that actually no human being is infallible, and these were human beings, and every one of them had to in some way contend with the possibility of error and the possibility of making mistakes, and that's part of Avedas Hashem. However, what I'd like to go to speak a little bit about is the interpretation of the Hamek Dover, of the Netziv here, which I think drills down quite deeply, not just into the chait of Moshe, but into the context of the chait. Because the chait itself can't be understood without understanding its context. Before I look at the Netziv, two of the primary questions that all Mefarshim ask is, if indeed he was going to be asked to speak to the rock, why is the first word that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Moshe, Kachas HaMateh? Why is he taking the Mateh at all, if it's going to have no purpose at all? And that's the first thing he's told, Kachas HaMateh, to take the staff with him. So why is it important for him to hold it if he's actually not going to use it at all? That's one of the questions that all the Mefarshim grapple with. And the other question is, what could it possibly mean, the Dibartem El HaSelam, to speak to the rock? How can we make sense of that? So to understand this, the Netziv tells us that the key to understanding Parshas Chukas in general is to understand that between the Parsha beforehand and Parshas Chukas, there is actually, you think it's only 1 week ago, something from Parshas Korach to Chukas, you think the Parshas Korach was only 1 week ago. In actual fact, in terms of the narrative and the chronology of the Torah, it's 38 years ago. In Parshas Chukas, we fast forward 38 years, and suddenly, if you look in Rashi, brings it down a couple of times, that we're suddenly talking about a new dor. This now is the generation. This is no longer the dor Yotzei Mitzrayim. That generation had passed away in the Midbar. This new dor, which had grown up in the Midbar, and they hadn't known slavery, and they hadn't known Mitzrayim. They'd grown up completely with the Hanan HaKavod and the Mon and the Be'er, and having daily shiurim for Moshe and Aaron. They were the dor of Bo'ei Ha'aretz. They were the people who were going to conquer and settle Eretz Yisrael. So the Nativ speaks about the immense transition that was required of Klal Yisrael from one generation to the next. In particular, it was a transition from Derech HaNeis to Derech HaTeva. That from now on, they knew when they come to Eretz Yisrael, that if they want to eat, they have to plow and sow and reap, and they have to make bread in order to eat. If they want to be protected, they have to build houses and train the army, and they have to have an economic policy and a military policy. And coming into Eretz Yisrael means living a life of Avodas Hashem, a life of Emunah and Yirat Shamayim and Mitzvahs, but the context is B'derech HaTeva, to live within a natural world without the supernatural interventions of the Neis. And this was a massive transition for them. And this was an enormously important educational moment, how to actually make that transition. It must have been, indeed, very frightening for a nation who had grown up completely living in a supernatural world to suddenly enter a natural world. Uncle Ponim, so the Nativ, I think, I'm paraphrasing a little bit the Nativ, but he goes something like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe Rabbeinu v'dibartim el ha-sera, to speak to the rock. He wasn't asking him to do an absurd activity of speaking to the stone. Dibartim el ha-sera was, so he brings down the Yalkut, brings down the Medrash, but actually what he wanted him to show them was that the dibur here is dibur shel kodesh, that by speaking words of Talmud Torah, by speaking words, by being osek in Torah, right? By being osek in Torah, and dibarten el ha-sera means in front of the rock or about the rock. It doesn't mean actually to the rock. Clearly one can't speak to the rock. It means here's the rock which should be producing water and isn't anymore producing water. Dibarten el ha-sera, sit there and learn Torah together. Or dibarten could mean tefillah. Tefillah and Torah is the kayach ha-dibur of Klal Yisrael, which has created the essential zechuyos for Klal Yisrael, and is our main kesher with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And what he wanted to show them was, and so why take along the matter at all? Here's an interesting point. And so Moshe Rabbeinu is taking along with him the matter, standing in front of the rock with the matter. The matter is, as the Pasuk said earlier, the matter ashetase boisa oisos. The matter represents the Derech HaNeis. Moshe Rabbeinu created Nisim, Kriyas Yamsof, etc. with the matter. He took along the matter in order to make a point. This was what was supposed to happen. He should have taken the matter and showed them, you see this matter? This matter has the supernatural powers. With this matter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring B'derech HaNeis, can bring down all sorts of Nisim for Klal Yisrael. But guess what? We're no longer going to use it. I'm going to hold it, but I'm not going to use it. And instead of which, there's now a new Mahalach. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, you live a life of B'derech HaTeva. It means that if you're in difficulty, you need parnasa, you need protection from enemies, you need whatever you need. The secret is the Dibartem. You need a Dibur of Kektesh. You need the Dibur of Torah and the Dibur of Tfilah. And this is going to be the new Mahalach. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the plan was that Moshe Rabbeinu should teach them how to live in Eretz Yisrael, the Derech HaTeva, how to live B'olam Hazeh without the miracles that had been the hallmark of the previous generation. Suddenly now they had to live in a way where in order to solve problems they needed Torah and Tefillah. Instead of which what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Sela and he did what he always did, which is he used the Neis. He used the mater, which means he used the kayach ha-neis, the kayach of the supernatural intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to bring water to Klal Yisrael. And yan lo he'emantem bi, what he means is he missed the important opportunity. of educating the generation into a new derech in Avodas Hashem. No longer were they simply recipients of the Isarusa de Leila, of gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They weren't just going to be any more recipients of a miraculous world. They were going to now have to engage in tefillah and Torah in order to be mekabel that shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different way. And that was the intention of this exercise. And Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of that, he used his usual kleichas of nisim.
Kol Halashon.
One of the interesting aspects of this interpretation is it gives a new understanding of why Moshe Rabbeinu deserved the einesh that he got. In other words, the whole of the Torah we often learn on two different levels. On one level, we learn that the event happened as a consequence of human activities, as part of the world of Bechira. But apart from the world of Bechira, we also know there is another world, there's another way of looking at life, which is the world of the Hashkacha Eliyena, the world of the Ratzon Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got a divine plan for mankind and a divine plan for every single man, woman, and child, and that in actual fact what happens to each of us is nothing to do with our decisions and our Bechira. It's got to do with the Ratzon Hashem. And in reality, logically, this is a stira. So what is it? Is my life a product of my decisions, or is my life, or am I simply a pawn in the predestined divine plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That contradiction between Yediyah and Bechira is one of the famous issues in the Hashkafa of the Torah. The Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva deals with it in great length, although the Rambam speaks about it in great length. How to wonder, but there's no question that these two systems coexist together. Everything that we do and has happened to us is both a consequence of Bechira, and also, it's Peshat, it's also predestined and part of the divine plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we need to work these two things together. We need to, in many ways, in our minds and in our hearts, we are moving between these two perspectives on life all the time. Some things happen as the Ratzon Hashem, sometimes we see it as part of our Bechira. So here as well, Moshe Rabbeinu, in one sense, is hitting the rock instead of speaking to it, was his Bechira. And it was a mistake. And because it was a mistake, he gets an Einesh, and he doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael. But on the level of Yediyas Hashem, on the level of the Hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a different shot completely. And that is, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Raya Mehemna, was the Avi HaNaviim. He was the greatest Novi ever, and he was the leader of Klal Yisrael, through a tekufa, through a period which required nisim, and he was able to be the person to bring these miraculous events down into this world, up to and including the greatest event of Matan Torah. However, when you came into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer the correct leader for Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael didn't need a leader who could create nisim; they needed a different leader. At this moment, at the Maimariva, Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated that actually teaching Klal Yisrael how to live B'derech HaTeva was not his way of teaching Klal Yisrael. His way of teaching Klal Yisrael was, stand and listen, if Yatzavu U'ru'u as Yeshua Hashem. You're going to hear the Dvar Hashem, you're going to see the Yad Hashem, I'll bring it down, and you will see it, and you'll just see it positively. From now on, we live in a world of B'derech HaTeva, and therefore, when we need Hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's through the Koyach HaTfilah and the Koyach HaTalmud Torah. These are our two greatest activities, which are, in fact, the Dibartim al HaSela. That was the original intention, and that was the limud that Moshe Rabbeinu should have given and didn't give, but the reason he didn't give it was because it wasn't him. It wasn't his kayach. His kayach was the kayach of the matter and the isis. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is showing that he is actually the wrong leader for going into Eretz Yisrael. If he would have gone into Eretz Yisrael and performed nisim, it would have been a short circuit. It would not have been appropriate, because coming into Eretz Yisrael was a new tekufa, was a new era, which required Klal Yisrael to work in Olam Hazeh, to work in the Olam HaAsiyah, with their Hishtadlus, and at the same time connect to the Atzilus in this world through Torah and Tefillah, and that was the formula which he should have taught them here, and he didn't. And he didn't do so. So these are a couple of ideas from Parshas Chukas. When we get into Parshas Balak, lots of very interesting themes here. I'm trying to decide according to the amount of time that's left. But one of the interesting themes is one particular word, one of the probably the most famous line in the in Parshas Balak is Matevu Olecha Yaakov Mishkanesecha Yisrael, where Bilam is Baal Korcha against his Teva, he is forced in a sense to recognize the beauty and the godliness of Klal Yisrael, the Olecha is the family life, the home, and the Mishkanesecha is the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash, the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah and Ruchnia centers of Klal Yisrael. And he started off with a word, Ma Tova Olecha Yaakov. I'd like to speak for a couple of minutes about the word Ma. Because the word Ma is probably one of the simplest words in the Hebrew language, and it means what? And it seems, usually, one tends to think that it's the opening word of a question, and it's meant to be an interrogatory a sentence. We're looking for an answer. What is this? And you get an answer. The truth is, the Torah, 9 times out of 10, the Torah uses the word Ma not as a real question, but as a rhetorical question. And that Ma, in this case, for example, means Ma Tova Olecha Yaakov, how great is the Ruchnius of Klal Yisrael, both in the Oihel and in the Mishkan, how great is it? It's infinite. Ma means, actually here, it's beyond description. It's beyond words. It's like Mo Ohavti Seirasech. How much do I love the Torah? More than I can say. So the word ma, in a sense, means that something is infinitely great. Morabu masecho Hashem. Kulam b'chochma asisa. How great is the chochma sabayre in the Teva? The answer is, it's beyond description. It's beyond quantification. It's something which is infinitely great. And this is the meaning of the ma, of Matova Olecha Yaakov. What's even more interesting is that the word Ma sometimes means exactly the opposite. It means Ma in a derisory sense. In a sense of what is it? It's nothing. What is it? It's so infinitesimally small that it's insignificant. It's nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parshas Kerach, and Kerach accuses him, V'lama tisnasu akal Hashem, he says, V'nachnu Ma. Who are we? Me, Moshe and Aaron, we're nothing, meaning we're garnished. We are completely only a conduit for the Rotzen Hashem and the Shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're nothing, right? So, and that was the ultimate expression of Moshe Rabbeinu's Anova, the Nachnu Ma, right? So Ma can mean it's not infinitely great, but it's infinitely small. There are two reasons why something can be beyond human description and human measure. It can either be so great that it's beyond measure, or it can be so insignificant that there's nothing to talk about, right? Even on Seder night, so we speak about Manishtana Halayla Hazeh, right? So there we're speaking about how amazingly different tonight is. Ma in that sense means it's amazingly great. The night is great, but when the Rosha gives his comment, he says, Moha Avoida Azeis Lachem, and he means the word Ma in a derisory. He's mocking. He's saying, what is this Avoida? It's garnished. It's nothing at all. So here you have an amazing thing, that the word Ma is completely, the meaning of it is completely controlled by context. Sometimes it means infinitely great, and sometimes it means infinitely small. And both of these things exist together in the word Ma. And it could be even here in the bracha stroke klala of Bilam. Bilam is giving brachas, what we call in English tongue-in-cheek. He's giving brachas, but in his brachas, Chazal say, in his brachas lie potential klalas. In his bracha he's saying, look, you see how great these aspects of Klal Yisrael are. If you want to destroy them, that's when you can destroy them. And that's why Benois Moyov, the Pasuk says, is the Atzaf Bilam. Bilam came and he said, Matovo Alecho Yaakov, how immensely beautiful and amazing is the family life, the Shalom Bayis, the Tahara, the Tzmias, that goes into the Jewish home. So on the one hand, that's a bracha. On the other hand, he's saying, that's their weak point. If you can break that, you've broken them. And therefore, Benois Moyov could be the greatest way of destroying Klal Yisrael. So Bilam is saying, Ma is using a word which has ambiguity to it, that things which are great can be in some way undermined if one understands, if one has an ayin ra'ah. And this brings me to the final point here of the seer for today, is the amazing medrash, the amazing Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, chapter 5, where the Mishnah divides up the world into two types of people. There are Talmidei Avraham Avinu, and there are Talmidei Bilam Harasha. I wouldn't normally have thought that Avram and Bilam, there's no real reason to think that Avram and Bilam are the contrasting models in the Chumash. Although the truth is, Rashi already brings it down in the Parsha, when it says, Vayachav Oshas HaSonai, that Bilam, even though he had servants, he saddled his own donkey, as says Rashi, HaSina Mekalkeles Es Ashura. Somebody who is driven by hatred and jealousy, that makes him do things which are inappropriate for him. He was just so passionate about his hatred that he was willing to saddle his own donkey in order to get quickly on the road to curse Klal Yisrael. But Rashi brings down, Chazal say, that Avraham Avinu already preceded you. Right? It says, Avraham Avinu saddles his donkey, and there Rashi says, Avraham Avinu is driven by Ahava, and Bilam is driven by sinner. And this really, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos wants to tell us, there are two different types of people in this world. Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosh v'dvorim eileh, mi talmidav shel Bilam harasha. And what is that? Ayin ra'ah, v'nefesh rechava, v'ruach kovoya. Right? V'chidah, other mafarshim say that this corresponds to akina, v'hataiva, v'hakova. Right, the ayin ra'ah means Bilam is driven by hatred and jealousy. And what does he want to do? He wants to find the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at El Zayim has a moment of kaas, and then he can bring kolola into this world. He wants to bring destruction and negativity into this world. This is Talmidei Bilam HaRasha. The complete mirror image, the contrast of Bilam HaRasha is Mitalmido Shel Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is driven by Ahava. He's got such an overdose, so to speak, of Ahava, that it's Mekalkeles Es Ashura, means he does things which he shouldn't really be doing because of his great Ahava. And the Ahava of Avraham Avinu comes from his Ayin Tova. He wants to see the good in other people. He doesn't want, Avraham Avinu is somebody, about whom it says, the Nivruchu V'chokal Mishpachos Avraham. His mission in life was to bring bracha into this world, which is the mirror image of Bilam bringing Klala into this world. Avraham Avinu, like all great tzaddikim, is Vani Sefila Lacho Hashem Eitz Rotzen. He wants to find the Eitz Rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the Eitz Zoyem, not the moment of anger, but the moment of Rotzen Hashem, in order to bring Shefa Bracha into this world. And this is Talmidei Avraham Avinu. And he's also he also has the Ruach Gavoya, and the Ruach Nemucha. The Ruach Nemucha of Avraham Avinu is that he's in Michut V'Atzeroich Na'al. He doesn't want anything for himself, no material goods, no physical pleasures. He's somebody who's completely above that. Whereas Bilam has the Ruach Kavoya, which basically greed for more power and more wealth and more physical pleasure. This is the Taiva, and the Kavod is the Nefesh Govoya and the Nefesh Shafala. The Moshe Avraham Avinu has the Nefesh Shafala, and Bilam has the Nefesh Nefesh Govoya. And this really is the difference. The Sfasemes is beautiful material on this week's Parsha, which I haven't got time to go into because we're coming to the end of the Shia. But it's beautiful to see that Bilam is given to us in the Torah just to provide the most extreme contrast to Avraham Avinu, to understand that there are people in this world whose life's goal is to bring bracha, to enhance other people's lives, to give generosity. They're driven by love and generosity. There are other people who are driven by hatred and jealousy, and they want to bring destruction into this world. And it's important to know there are Talmidei Bilam HaRasha and Talmidei Avraham Avinu. And that, please God, we should be zeicher to be part of only Talmidei Avraham Avinu, and to keep away from all the midas ros of depicted by Bilam HaRasha. And Bezer Hashem, like I started off with, in the zechus of the chesed of the others throughout all the generations, we should be zeicher indeed to have children like Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, whose whole goal in life was only to bring bracha into this world. I wish you all a very good Shabbos. Wish to send you lots of only brachas from Yerushalayim and HaKadosh. And please God, when the world returns to what we usually call normal, I hope to see you all again, both here and in London. All the very best. Kol tov.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.